All right, Larry, kick us off.
Okay, so I started calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
I started calling the buyers and sellers, and I kind of got excited. My skip tracer did a good job because he tracked out. I was going back and looking at some of these buyer leads, and he found some people, and it's exactly what he said it was. He got email addresses and all kinds of stuff. So that's cool. Working. I've run into a challenge this week that I'm fixing on Saturday. Basically, I took a job a couple months ago. So, and I have like two hours of time that I can call people after work, and that's becoming a challenge depending on how the day went. So I'm bringing on a sales guy. I'm bringing on an acquisitions guy on Saturday, and that's what we've been emailing back and forth about, for the last few days.
Yes, it is. Yes. So spend a couple hours hiring acquisitions person, salesperson that can jump on the phone for 4 to 7 hours a day.
Exactly.
Much more productive use of your 2 hours.
So I'm going to call with him on Saturday while I'm training him, and let him run it all next week. The person that I identified is somebody I've been JVing with for the last year. He has leads that he cold calls, but he hasn't done any of the training that I told him to do so that he wouldn't need me. So it was supposed to be a temporary thing, but he doesn't know how to run the numbers to make the offer. So I've been doing that for him,
And Larry, let me give some background, because Larry and I were talking today through email. He's got a guy that he knows. Thinking about bringing him on for acquisitions or sales, gives him a disc test, and the guy is really high C, and then not below mid-range D, and then I and S are even lower than that. And here's how this plays out. A couple things. High C's are accountants, and they want all the I's dotted, all the T's crossed. They typically ask a ton of questions. And it takes them a while to take action if they ever do it. All right? Some of you on here, you can maybe relate to that. Hard to be an entrepreneur for a high C. It's a challenge. Not that it can't be done. It's a challenge. And what I told Larry is, it doesn't matter if you know this guy. If he's a valuable member of the team, he probably fits in somewhere else. But you have got to get a high D driving personality on the phone. For sales, because they are the rainmakers, and a high C won't do it. They're going to ask a ton of questions. Larry, they're going to take up more of your time. I found a sales guy a couple weeks ago, Chris. He's off the charts D. Well, you can't be off the chart. He's as high D as you can get. I'm on the first conversation with him, and I say, hey, man, we give everybody a disc test just to make sure, personalities match with where we have them. Go to, you can just Google search a free disc test. And I want you to take it, send back your results to me, email them over. And the phone goes quiet. And I said, hey, did I lose you? And he goes, no, I'm filling it out already. And so I tell Chris what we're doing. And he goes, great. I'll get up at 6 or 7 in the morning if I have to. I reach people before work. I'll call after work. He didn't ask me 10 questions. He said, can you send the script over? I was like, yeah, I'll fire it over. Here's how these calls are going to go. And he's like, great, I'll start calling here this afternoon. So that's just the different personality types. Every personality type has value. You just want to match it with the task at hand. So what I was telling Larry is you've got a relationship with this guy. He's probably great. He's not your driving salesperson. And my guess, Larry, is they ask a ton of questions. You just said, I gave him some training on deal evaluation, hasn't gone through it. That's because a high C is wired to be more employee mindset as opposed to entrepreneur. I'm going to blaze my own path, and whatever gets in my way, I'm just going to figure it out and blow through it. And I'm not wired like Rob. I'll just tell you guys right now, Rob and Brad are both high D bulldozers, and they just go places. So quick training. I have a business partner on the real estate side. I'm not high D. Guess what he is? High D. Why? Because I'm not strong in that area. So if I'm not the dominant driver and I know the business needs that to move forward, I'm just going to go partner with it. Partner or hire your weaknesses. Now, when it comes to training the system, building the team, keeping the team motivated, I'm all over it. I'm wired to do that. So I handle that. Right? So if you guys, and I've said this, you know, a bunch of times, I'm going to say it again on office hours, you have to go take a DISC test and know what you are, because you're going to have strengths and weaknesses, and there are going to be parts of the business that you will be naturally better at. There are going to be parts of the business that will be your weaknesses. There will be parts of the business that you enjoy. There will be other parts that you don't like. It's not about, right, in school we're taught, hey, you're good at math, you're not so good at English, let's go work on English. And that, so a lot of us, that's the mindset we have. What successful business owners do is they say, here are my strengths, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go hire somebody who's good at my weakness. Totally different mindset. That's where we have to move if you're not there already. So, Larry, I wanted to say that on this call anyway. You just gave me a good segue to it, so appreciate that. But that gives people a little background on the conversation we've been having. I flat out told you, it's not even, if you want to train this guy, and you brought in some other things, like it sounds like you just like this person and you want to give him some skill moving forward. I'm not going to tell you not to do that, but I'm telling you, this is not your high D rainmaking driver salesperson who is going to blow up your inbox and contracts and put really good pressure on the business. Like, I need more leads. These five people need an offer today. I need you to run numbers on this. That's the kind of pressure you want on the business, and a high D person will bring it.
Nope.
Not a high C. Won't happen.
So what I'm thinking is, so I'm going to show him how to run the numbers so that he can be on his own. I'll bring somebody else in. So the bulk of my questions now are more logistical, as far as what I do with the high D person. So
here,
you just
I'll
mentioned.
Here's what you do, and here's what else I'll tell you. That high C guy is going to be really analytical, and he will get stuck analyzing a deal for 3 days instead of analyzing it in 10 minutes, making an offer, and moving on to the next one. And what you want to do is analyze the deal quick, make an offer, and move on to the next one. You can always fix it if you goofed on the offer price. That's what inspection periods are for. And some, right, I know some of your personalities. Some of you are highly analytical. And one of your frustrations is, you know, how does my whole day go by and I'm still stuck doing this same thing because you're high C, you're analytical. Now, there's a really relevant place. I mean, you could teach your D's, your salespeople, how to analyze the deal, and you'll do it very well. And then they can take that and apply it, you know, run some quick numbers, make the offer, and move on, right? Everybody has their place. But that, anyway, that's what will happen. So, yeah, what are your further questions about that, how to bring these people on?
All right, so for the high D, the ad, you mentioned the ad that I put out for the high D should be really short on purpose.
Super short and to the point. Yep.
As an example, I mean,
if you're on here, and this is why you got to show up on office hours. If you're on here and you send an email to the coaching email and say, Mike, send me the last ad you posted, I'll just copy and paste it back. Now, change some of the wording, but you'll see my format. Here's the thing. I want a high D personality. High D's only want to know the facts. They only care about results. They want to be communicated at in as few words as possible. They have very few questions. They just tell me, you know, what do I do and when do I start? And so my ad is written. I'm not a high D. I just wrote it to attract a high D. And it's, I mean, it says things like rock star phone salesperson wanted. Our business is real estate related. high ticket items. You know, common sales are $5,000 to $15,000. 1099, work from home, you know, work from anywhere for that matter. And then I go right in at the very bottom. I say, let's see. I say things like, if you're not a rock star, don't bother responding. If you write it, something like, if you are afraid of commission based and controlling your own income, don't reply. And then I put, don't send back a resume because I'm not going to read it. I don't care. And I say, if interested, shoot me back 3 sentences on why you're qualified, and I'll call you if I feel like there's a fit. So that is totally against my personality. But I'm writing it because I want to speak to high D personality types. And somebody who's a high C would read that ad and they would say, I have 30 questions that they didn't answer. This is not for me. They couldn't handle it. They would, right, their brain would explode. They want the job posting that's 8 paragraphs exactly in detail on what you're going to be doing. And the world needs those people, right? They're accountants. They're the organizers. They're the analytical folks. We need those people, just not in sales. And so I wrote this ad intentionally to target high D's. And, it, you know, I, maybe you call it luck, whatever you want to call it. Chris is the first conversation I had after I posted that ad.
Are you posting that in Craigslist or what platform?
I put it in the
Craigslist
sales section. Yeah, because the other thing about it is high C's typically won't even click on the sales section, because they hate it and they know they're not wired for it. So, you know, Rob has used Indeed with some success. He's used Craigslist with success. I like Craigslist because I can put it in a sales section, and I know people that hate sales and want nothing to do with it won't even click on it. So I'm automatically sorting through some of the crowd.
Interesting.
Anyway, if you want my ad, shoot me an email. It says, Mike, send me that job ad, and I will copy and paste it. You just have to change it up a little bit, right? Don't plagiarize it. Just follow the format, switch up the wording, and feel free to post it.
I'm not saying it's
the perfect ad. I'm just saying this is the one that I posted. Do with it what you want.
Gotcha. Last thing as far as logistics is concerned. So what I did for the buyer calls is I bought a El Paso number,
okay.
And I've been calling them with that number so that I don't spook them on the, I'm going to tell them that I have, you know, I'm going to give them that local number, and I tell them that we're based in Charlotte, and if they want to call me directly, I'll switch them over to my number. But for now, I'm thinking ahead because I'm not always going to be making that call, and I want to be able to track. I want to be able to track the communication. So going back to the sales side, so I think I'll have a separate number for the acquisitions guys so that, and I'm probably going to at some point have that forwarded to Ring Central or something like that so I can record his calls.
Freedom Soft in the near future will record live phone calls.
Okay.
It's on the list, and it's near the top of what's coming next. Just FYI.
Gotcha.
And let me talk to the numbers too. I've had just as much success calling people on a different number. If they see my out of state number and they don't answer, I don't care. I just leave a confident message that says, "Hey, I'm a wholesaler in your area. Found your ad online. You know, looks like you're buying in this market. So and so, this is my direct number. Call me back. I've got deals you'll be interested in," and leave them your number. And if they don't answer, that's fine. So I'm good either way. I just, if people are hearing you grab the number there and they're thinking that's what they have to do, it works both ways.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to make sure I can control, like if I give them my direct number, then they'll blow me up when I'm at work. If I give them the, FreedomSoft number, I can
absolutely
store it while I'm at work.
Absolutely. For that reason, absolutely. Set it up how you have it. Now, my tune changes a little bit. when calling sellers. I want my salespeople calling from a local number
because
the likelihood of picking it up is better, and I want as many conversations as possible.
Gotcha.
So that's what's cool about the phone service is whether it's FreedomSoft, Google Voice, whatever, you can go in and grab a local number to your market, and your sales team can call from that. So, but with buyers, I'm not as concerned because I'm going to leave them a voicemail that says, I have deals, you said you have money, let's talk. And a lot of times they'll call you back. Not always. You're not going to bat 1,000 with anybody, but most of them will call you back.
Got it.
Yeah, Larry, you've got to – here's what I'm going to say to everybody. And, again, you know, those of you who've been on these calls for a while, you've heard me say this. When you have skipped trace leads, either you have to be calling them or you have to find somebody that's calling them, right? The magic is when, obviously, somebody gets on the phone consistently with these leads. And I'm telling you, time and time again – you'll at least have appointments set in the first 48 hours. It's rare that it doesn't happen. I'm not saying it happens every time, but it's rare that when you mix these leads with, right, good skip trace data, and here's the other key, and a sales personality on the phone. So some of you are wired. Larry, you took the disc test and sent it to me. You're wired to do sales. However, you don't have the time, so it's not a good fit. Some of you are, some of you aren't. I'm not a high D or high I, right? The D's and I's on a disc test are the extroverts. The S's and C's are the introverts. I'm as introverted as it gets, right? I go to a gathering or whatever where I don't know that many people. I'll stand in the corner. I am not mingling. I'm not saying hi to people I don't know. It's just how I'm wired. I'm not a sales personality, so I know how to make the phone calls. I'm just not the one doing it because that's not effective. And what will happen is if you're not, you'll get on the phone with these leads and you won't be setting appointments, making offers, tying up deals, and you're trying to figure out, wait a minute, I have this script, I have this, right? It's just you're just not wired to do it. Put a salesperson on the phone and watch what happens. So.
Okay.
If you need to make 5 of those calls so you can train on it, I'm all for it. But then get a salesperson on. So if you have not taken a disc test, I'm telling you, you got to do it. You got to figure out how you're wired and what makes you tick. So that's just mix. Grab these vacant leads with skip trace data, put those together with a salesperson on the phone, and watch what happens. I'm just telling you, get ready for things to start popping. We see it every time.
All right,
let me see. Yep, put them on the phone. You again, you're wired to do it. You don't have the time to do it. Bad fit. So that's why I told you that one reply. I said, go hire you. You just need to hire you with time. That's all it's going to take. And here's the thing, you'll be able to hire you, right? I have to put on my high D hat when I'm writing the ad and talking to that person. This is the other thing too, right? You non-high Ds, when you get a high D on the phone, you've got to switch into high D mode, which is, I'm telling you, they're not going to have a ton of questions. Be really direct. Tell them what they're going to be doing, what the end result should be. Just be really to the point. They don't need the, hey, how's your day going, chit-chat. It drives them nuts. Just talk shop. Just talk business. So put your high D hat on. And this was, I think I talked about this once. There was a group years ago that I was tied into, and this guy owned a company, and everybody in the company, it was mandatory that they took this one personality test. And actually, he liked the personality test so much that he bought the company that invented it. So everybody took the personality test, and whether that employee had an office or a cubicle, on the outside, they bought those little glass plaques that stick to the wall or whatever, and you printed out your personality profile, and it went in either right at the entrance to your cubicle or at the door to your office. And the rule in the company was, so Larry, if you and I both work there and I'm coming to you to talk about something, before I go in, I'm reminding myself what your personality profile is, and now it's my responsibility to communicate to you in your personality type, because it makes communication more effective. It's the person sending the message that needs to pay attention to who's supposed to receive the message, and we have to adjust it accordingly. So when I'm talking to my sales guy and I know he's high D, I have to be short and to the point, and I have to turn off my, you know, hey, how's your day treating you? How are things going? Because when I just, right, some of you I've talked to on the phone before, outside of office hours, and the first thing I always ask is, how's your day treating you? Because I'm relational and I care about, before we talk business, let me ask you how you're doing. Rob doesn't do that. It's not that he doesn't care how you're doing. It's just that he's high D and he's wired to go immediately to business, right? It's just, it's not right or wrong. It's just a personality difference. And so what you as business owner have to understand is, who am I communicating with on the team? What is their personality type? I need to communicate to them in a really effective way. So if you are high D, Larry, you are, you're going to bring on maybe an acquisitions, like a leads manager or an executive assistant at some point. They're probably not that high D salesperson. They're a little more high C where you want them, right? If they're the person setting up your closings, managing the paperwork, you want somebody that's analytical, somebody that dots all the I's and crosses all the T's. When you go to communicate with them, you've got to be prepared to have, right, answer all the questions, take a little more time, make sure they understand exactly what's going to go on, even though you as a high D, that drives you nuts. Because your personality is, give me a general idea of where we're headed and I'll figure out the rest. But that's not how they're wired. So you as business owner, we have to be paying attention to this. Who are we communicating to, and how do I effectively do that? And so I told Larry this today, and I'm going to tell everybody else. If you are not at all familiar with a DISC test, go on Google, research it, and there's a ton of information on there about what the different letters mean and what those people are good at. Understand it. You don't have to be an expert on it. Just have a general understanding of what each of the personality types are. So to wrap all this up, I thought that was brilliant by the guy who owned the company, because it made inter-office communication more effective. It doesn't matter what your personality type is. It matters what's the personality type of your intended audience. Communicate that way. If you go to post an ad for a transaction coordinator, do not write it the same way as you do for your high D salesperson, because you're looking for a high C, somebody that's really methodical, analytical. They want to know all the answers. They won't jump into an environment that they're unsure of. They want to know, because it makes them comfortable to know exactly how things are going to work and what they're going to be doing. So you have to go right for 4 paragraphs and explain what's going on. And those people will naturally be more gravitated to your job ad. Make sense?
Yes.
I'm assuming your silence means yes.
Yes.
All right. Cool.
Oh,
who
and,
else is
and
on?
That,
yeah, go
I
ahead.
Can also pay them less, because by the time we get to talking about the closing person, by the time we get to that point, we have more confidence in the sale, and so I can just pay them per file that closes. But even though that's still slightly commissioned, it's a higher confidence.
Yep. Yeah, you can. You know, Rob's team is W-2. I'll just tell you guys all that. I don't talk about it on here much because it's more complicated than where all we need to be. I'm bringing everybody on 1099. I mean, I pay the bird dog $3 a lead, pay the skip tracer to skip trace it for me, but everybody else is tied to the closing. And it can be like that forever. At some point down the road, you know, if you want to bring it W-2 and bring all that on, you know, you all can make that decision when you want to, but you're absolutely right, Larry. You can do this with very little out of pocket. I mean, to run a legitimate business. So I was in a meeting all day today with Rob about the franchise. They've done 800 gross, 817,000 over the first 6 months gross income, working the exact system we teach. Now, this is Rob behind it and Brad, and they both have a ton of experience, right? So there is no learning curve. They're teaching the method, but I just, you know, he does the modules, the steps that you're all going through. That's it. And I'll tell you the magic piece is he and Brad are hard, high D drivers. So that's why I started this call by saying, if that's not you, partner with it. Find it and partner with it. Because it'll take the business off, because they just, high D people get up and they don't need motivation. I've asked Rob this before. What motivates you? What keeps you going forward? And he's like, I don't know. I just do it. I just go. That's it. Not everybody's, I'm not wired like that. I've got to have some why behind it. I've got to have some reason behind it, right? And remind myself of that stuff frequently. We're just wired different. But I'm telling you, there isn't, you know, just be smart about this stuff, right? And that's why we get on these calls. Think business owner. No more thinking employee. And that's easier for some of you than others. But, right, know how you're wired. Know what your weaknesses are. Know what your strengths are. Bring people on that fill in the gaps in your business. Even though Rob and Brad are high D, Rob has had a vision to franchise his business for over a decade. He partnered with Brad, and Brad is the guy who has taken the vision and put it into really, really specific format, documents, that kind of thing. And so the two of them together is what's allowed it to happen in a really short amount of time, because they didn't start working together until here recently, a little over 6 months ago. So even Rob, being in his position, understands, hey, this is a value add. I'm going to partner with Brad. We both have, even though we're both high D, we have different skill sets. Rob's more cast the vision. Brad is, let me go carry out the vision. And so it's the two together that have put this thing together in such a short amount of time. So, right, I bring that to the group because that's really valuable, right? I give you I am the fly on the wall and saying, hey, not only is this the method, here's how they're doing it. So who else has a question? Update. Well, you're getting good stuff out of this. It's more about when you're newer, it's more about the how-to. But what I'm telling you is long-term, it's less about the how-to, and it's more about the business side, right? And thinking like an entrepreneur. Thinking like a business owner, getting spending time out of the business. We always, always have to spend time in the business, especially up front to get it moving. But you have to simultaneously be spending time out of the business, looking at it from 10,000 feet and saying, okay, what's going on here? What do we need? What pieces are missing? And that's what, right? That's the discussion we want to have on here. We can, I mean, the how-tos are absolutely on the table. If you have a how-to question, let's get it answered. But I want you simultaneously thinking, you know, seeing what's happening from 10,000 feet. Because nobody here is after a job. We're all after a business. And so we have to think like business owners.
That's awesome, Mike. That's really awesome.
Good. I hope you're just all chewing on what's going on here. So. But that's
Mike,
what that, yeah, is, that's the magic piece.
Is, yeah, Mike Durace, my first time on there. So.
Hey, Mike, welcome.
Thank you for sitting back.
Any questions? I know I sent a couple emails back and forth today with you. Any questions or we need clarity on anything?
You know, I think just trying to get that figure. I went back and reran the numbers and stuff, and
yep.
I think I'm getting it right, but just doesn't seem like there was a lot of data coming out of that area. So.
Right. Yeah, and I had a little time to double check it, Mike. I want to look again. I want to. Yeah. You know what? It was actually your email, Mike, that triggered something I want to bring up. I want to bring up today. Let me tell you guys, and I've been really open about it, right? And I just tell you all, Rob and Brad are working Memphis. You want to know why they picked Memphis? Because the P ratio is low and it's super competitive. So what they did is they said, if we can prove our franchise model in a really competitive market, it'll work everywhere else. That's why they picked it. And I think I wanted to clarify that, because what your assumption probably is, oh, Rob and Brad picked Memphis. They probably, you know, found the best market they could possibly find and launch there. They didn't. They picked what they knew would be a challenging market to prove that it works. And, Mike, to speak to your question, so Mike sent in an email today. He pulled some data off ListSource. He's in an MSA that has, like, 1.7 million people. Is that right? I think
yeah,
I got that right.
Yeah, close.
But we go into the absentee owner data, and he thought the numbers were a little low. And I'll be honest with you, Mike, I thought they were a little bit too, based on the population. But here's what I can tell you guys. I've got leads generating in a few different markets, and one of them is one that the P ratio stinks. And so nobody in the coaching group has picked it, and it's St. Louis. And I'll just tell you what it is. It's competitive, and we've got deals working all over the place. So my point is, we want you to learn how to analyze markets, clearly. We want you to make good decisions about it. But the method we're implementing works. Now, I wouldn't, right, you could say, well, why not just go to Denver? I don't want to go to Denver because of the price point. That's what keeps us out of Denver, all right? And to give you a comparison, right, because I see the markets that you guys are all analyzing in Module 1, but the average single family home price in Denver 2 months ago hit 487, highest it's ever been, 487,000 average single family home in the city of Denver. I want to be in a market that's below 250 average single family home price. And I'm good with a market that's, you know, 175, something like that. It's just easier. So Mike, to answer your question, we absolutely want to look at P ratios. You want to make intelligent decisions about where to launch. Yeah. My point is, if you're off a little bit, this method just works. And so, you know, like I said, Brad and Rob, they said, hey, let's not pick what we think is a prime market. Let's pick what we think is a really competitive market. And if it works there, we can tell people it'll work anywhere.
Okay.
So I would, you know, I'd stay clear of, you know, D.C., same, $500,000 average single family home price. Portland, really high. Seattle, really high. San Diego, Denver, Austin's really high, kind of those trendier, you know, markets to live in. Salt Lake is really up right now, and there are others. But you get into just about any market, and I, you know, at the end of the day, guys, and you all know this, hustle wins. Hustle flat out wins. Period. I know a husband and wife team that wholesale in Denver. They're killing it. They have the money to spend on marketing, and they have boatloads of hustle. Could you go in and make money in Denver? You could. You'd have to spend a ton of money to get started, like thousands and thousands and thousands. Their marketing budget's $15,000 a month to generate leads. But they're doing it. Why? Because they have just a bunch of hustle. So hustle wins always. You just make up your mind that, you know, I'm going to go pick this market and I'm going to make it work, you know. Nothing defeats the human will if it'll never give up. Now, what we add into that is some intelligence, some data, and say, okay, let's go pick a market where we match our hustle with the market where it's easier to find deals. And, it, you know, the results come quicker. And you don't have to spend as much money to get them. That's what the program's about. So.
I was
Mike, welcome.
Some,
what else? What's that?
Thank you. I was also having some problems finding good data on the average single family home price in the areas. It seemed like
you should be able to Google it. Just type average single family home price in and put your city.
I did find it. Zillow was common. Obviously, they were popping up all the time, and I don't know how accurate you can count
Zillow,
on it.
Zillow has great data.
It up.
Zillow has good data. We don't always put a whole lot of stock in the Zestimate or the Z estimate. They run some algorithms on that are fairly accurate in some parts of the country, and we think they're off by quite a bit in others. But outside of that, Zillow tracks tons of data and gives it away for free. So I would be inclined to trust some of their average single family home price data. They really do. They do a great job of tracking stats.
I did try to back their data up in most of the areas I was looking in, and I just was really having trouble finding other sources that would actually state single family income. Most of it was just the median income for the area, and I couldn't actually identify it being single family home or not.
Yeah, so keep looking online. It should be out there. Another good site some of you know is Trulia, Trulia.com. Here's what's cool about Trulia is you put in an address, right, and most of you all are working in remote markets, not all of you, but most of you are, and crime rate data, right? When I go into a market like St. Louis, I mean, St. Louis has some legitimate war zones, right? Denver doesn't. St. Louis does. A lot of your markets do have legitimate war zone where investors just won't buy for good reason. I can put an address in Trulia, check it out real quick, and right below it, there's a little icon where I can click crime rate. And it'll put that property on a map, and it goes from green to red. There are five different phases. It kind of goes green, like a yellowish green, yellow in the middle, orange, and then red. And you can even click around and zoom in on that map, and it'll say, seven auto thefts in the last whatever, and it has crime rate stats. So I love using Trulia because I can go into a market and say, what does this look like? I don't know the market too well. And I mean, what's crazy is sometimes you'll see a green section and one or two blocks over it's red. And there's a very clear line between very little crime and a ton of crime. And it can be within a block, which is crazy, but they've got stats on it. So yeah. Anyway, check. That's just another source. If you're not using Trulia, start getting familiar with that website a little bit.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. Who else? Bless you.
Thank you.
I guess I can go next then. Everybody's quiet.
Hey, Mike, this is Ryan. This is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan.
Ryan Schmidt.
Hey.
Yeah, I know we've been emailing, but I got through the first couple modules.
Yep.
I know I sent you that message earlier about, trying to get some clarity on the low versus high. But I think I got that. I just wanted to make sure we were both on the same page. But I'm at the point I'm already progressing through module three, so
nice.
I should be able to put out my first ad on tomorrow.
Love it.
That's my plan, to put out my first ad tomorrow. And then I'm going to just keep, plowing through.
If you have time tonight, I want you to put it out tonight.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Yep.
And I want everybody, we talk about this on orientation call. I want you moving slightly faster than you're comfortable with.
Okay.
We're trying to build something that you haven't built before. It's going to be uncomfortable anyway. And if we can get it through our head that, I could probably do it tomorrow, but if I just tell myself I'm going to post an ad today and just get it online, the more we can operate like that, the quicker you guys will all get to the result.
Okay.
And it's just that relentless. It's easy to push off, Ryan. I'm not picking on you. Everybody does it. I do it.
Okay.
Everybody does it. So as coach, I'm telling you, and I do this every time. Other people have said it too. I'm going to do that tomorrow. And I say, no, let's, as soon as the call's over, take 15 minutes and post your ad.
Okay.
Because it's not going to take you very long.
Right.
So get that ad posted.
Okay.
And when we get that mindset through our head and you can kind of force the issue a little bit, you'll be pleased on the other end of it. I promise. When we just start knocking stuff out.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. But other than that, like I said, I'm gonna go ahead and push that out and get that out tonight.
Cool.
I'm gonna go ahead and keep moving through the module. I think the next one coming up is getting the bird dogs and everything set up.
Yep.
Once I get the ad posted and getting it set up in FreedomSoft, and then going on to the stuff. I think the next one is something about the VAs and stuff like that.
Yep. You got it.
So
I'll be plowing
through that.
Love it.
Through that all weekend. So my plan is to get all that wrapped up this weekend. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, when you post your ad for your bird dogs, just like I just told you, don't do tomorrow what you can do today. If somebody says, I can start driving tomorrow, and you're talking to them before noon or 2 o'clock, say, I tell you what, the job may not be here tomorrow. I need somebody who can drive today, and I have 5 other people to talk to.
Okay.
Can you go at least give me an hour today? So you do it by posting the ad and then expect it when people start chiming in. And you can even put that in your ad. I'm looking for somebody who is willing to go drive today. I will pay you today. Let's get this thing moving and pass along that expectation of we get things done now.
Right. Okay.
So, find somebody. If they call up and say, hey, I'm really interested, I can start next week, they're not the right fit.
Okay.
Your business needs leads coming in as soon as possible, which ideally – if you post that ad tonight, you will likely have replies. You can talk to them tomorrow, and we've seen it over and over again where you could have leads coming in by tomorrow afternoon.
Okay. I could do that.
Cool.
Now, other than that, I do, like I said, I did, since I just started the program recently, I did have a few campaigns out there that I was still working. I do have I have a few appointments this weekend set up for Saturday morning.
Beautiful.
I'm gonna look at a few properties there in my own market. So I'm gonna see if I can squeeze a couple of deals out of these last couple of campaigns. I did fairly well. Got some good response rates on the ones that I did do.
Yep.
So I'm gonna try to squeeze out at least a couple of deals. I think I sent you an email asking about, what's the best way to approach getting rid of a property. When you don't have a buyer established for it, because this one I have that I recently just got under contract. It's in a good neighborhood.
Yep.
ARV is good, but it's gutted on the inside. I mean, the outside is presentable. It has fairly new siding and everything.
So give us some real numbers. What's ARV?
ARV is in that area about $80,000.
Okay. And
it's
what
more
does it
of a
need?
Rental.
You said it's gutted. How much does it need to fix up?
It's down to the stud. So I budgeted in there about
how big is this? How many square feet?
It's a story and a half. So probably total, it's approximately about $1,350.
Okay. And does it have electrical and plumbing, or that was all pulled out?
He already updated the electrical.
Nice.
Well, he already updated the plumbing. The electrical has a new box. I know he just has to do – he said it's a minor thing that he still has to update with the electrical. But it has a new box in it and everything. And it's already opened up.
Was it permitted?
Yeah, it was permit. Yep, it was permitted.
Okay. All right.
Yep, I'll check for that for sure. It was permitted. So
everybody, side note, you ever buy a property that's under construction, ask the current owner if everything was permitted properly.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to buy somebody else's problem. That could be a mess with the city. So anyway,
cool.
So
you're right.
1,300 square feet. Most of the electrical's back. What about plumbing?
Plumbing is good.
Okay.
He had a guy because he was originally doing. He's planning on buying this house and fixing it up and living in it. His wife, but he ended up running out of money. So he's
so
at
what
a point.
Okay, so it's a. So what was your fix-up estimate?
I estimated it at about right at around. I put in there about 30 to 35.
Okay. Yeah, I would have been 25 to 35. 200 square feet. I think, and it depends a little bit. Is this a rental, or I think you said it's a rental, not a
I think it's more of a rental. The area is more good. It's good for rental. I'm in a tricky area because we do have, you know, I mean, I guess that's anywhere, but we do have some pockets here that, you know, it's big on rentals, but, you know, you'll get, if you do it up nice and, you know, if it's an $80,000 home, you might get a, you know, a first-time homeowner to come in and buy it.
Right.
So
what is it?
It's kind of one of those.
What does it rent for?
It rents for about $950.
Okay. So if this is a fix-up, this is right out of Module 2, the two anchors, ARV or monthly rents. Ryan's
right.
saying it's a rental, rent at $950 a month. So let's run some live math. Let me ask you this. What do you have it for under contract?
I have it under contract for $12,500.
For $12,500. And you think it needs what are you trying to sell it for?
I was going to try to squeeze out. I'm putting it out there at about 23.
23. Okay. So good little payday. So if I buy it for 23,000, and you think it, let's go worst case scenario. I don't think it needs 35,000. I think that's high. But I'm gonna
I think it is high too.
So that's 58 grand. Let's say I'm a cash buyer. Buy it from you for that price. Put 35 in. That's 58. Call it 60,000 all in. So let's run some numbers and see if 60,000 is even a good price. So here we go, 950, that's our anchor, monthly rents, times 70%, right? We're going to take 30 off the top for 10% property management, which is really common for a landlord, 10% to cover vacancy, 10% to cover repairs. Those are kind of industry standard numbers. You'll find landlords that run them different, but that's industry standard. 70% of that is $665 a month, so that's net rent. We just went from gross to net by taking 70%. Net monthly rent, $665 times 12. Net annual rent, $7,980. $7,980 net annual rent. Now, a turnkey buyer, like if you were to take this down, fix it up, and then go to sell it, they didn't have to do any work, tenant occupied, typically – they want to buy in that 8 to 12% range, 8 to 12% return on investment. So I'm going to be aggressive and call it 12. So now I'm going to take my 7980 divided by 0.12. A 12 cap buyer could be all in on this deal for 66.5 at 950 a month and make 12% on their money. And what you're saying is you want to move it for about 23, and I put 35 in, and I'm all in at 60. Those numbers are decent. 12 cap buyer. Now, what the question is somebody willing to make 12% and manage the construction? And that's what you'll have to find out.
Right.
But what I like about it is these are solid numbers, and you've got, you know, $5,000 or $6,000 to come down on your price and still make some money on it.
Yeah.
So you've got, you know, you've got it marked up 10 now. So yeah. Not a bad you know, not bad numbers. Now it's based on are there buyers in the area? You know, we can call the, we can say the numbers are decent all day long. Do you have buyers that want that are willing to pay those numbers and do the fix up?
Right.
And I think what's more realistic is sell it for 23, fix it up for 25,000. That's 48 grand. Let's round up to 50, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 50,000 is our all-in price, and then we were at 950 times 0.7 was 665 times 12, 7980 divided by 50,000. That's a 15.9% first year rate of return. At those numbers, that's a 16 cap property.
Yeah, and that's what I calculated it because I built it in when I built them in for about 35 grand. But I had in the back of my mind that it was probably only going to be probably about 20 because you're the most likely they're just going to do a rental upgrade anyway.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Yeah. That's
there's
what
a
I was,
decent
I got
there's a decent chance back. You're out of there for closer to 20.
Right.
If you
make
it rental grade. So
yeah.
This thing starts to look really attractive. I tell you what, that's how I'd market it right there.
Yeah.
16 cap deal, 23 buy price, 25 fix up, couple grand in closing costs, 30 day renovation, 950 a month rents. Now here's the other thing I want to tell everybody. It's not complicated math, right? Some of us liked math in high school and some of us hated it. That is the math that you all have to be able to run right off the top of your head. You have to know how to do that, what I just did. And obviously it's trained on in the coaching center, but you've got to run scenarios and numbers until you can pull that live time like we just did. Again, it's not super complicated, but we have to know how to do that. So if anybody has any questions on it, I'm happy to it's in the coaching center and I'm happy to review it. Right? It's not it's not all of our thing. And it's just some percentages, but that's how we talk the language. That's how we learn how to speak the language with our buyers, is by knowing how to crunch some numbers. So yeah, Ryan, good. I hope you can get that thing moved. That's a good.
Yeah, I'm gonna hit the ground. I've been, you know, putting some ads and stuff out there and, you know, following.
Do you have access to private money?
I have a guy that I actually just did a couple of deals with last month, actually, who actually offered me private money. He said if I needed, he said he's there.
Do you have construction crews?
I don't have any established under myself. I mean, I have access to some guys I know that, you know, is doing rehabs and fixing flips in the area.
Here's what you may want to do, and I'm just throwing this out there. You bring in private money, and you, if you don't have two business entities, you'd need them, but you have it under construction with one. Wholesale it, either double close or assign it to your second, get paid your wholesale fee, but you still control it.
Mm-hmm.
The private money is going to fund entity number two that you also control. So you just made a wholesale fee, you paid yourself. Get that private lender in on this thing. Tell them you fund it. We'll go in. You'll manage it. Fix it up. Say, this is what the numbers look like. We'll put a tenant in it, and then we'll go market a turnkey rental, tenant occupied. Now, that has some more moving pieces to it.
Right.
I'm all for you just wholesaling it as well. Mm. But I bring it up because when you control the lead like you do, and this is why everybody remember back to orientation call and the little triangle I have you draw, and the bottom of it is generate leads.
Yep.
And I explain the reason you want to generate leads and know how to do it is because it puts you in total control of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's another option because you control the deal. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm all for turn and burn and get paid 10 grand on a wholesale fee. But if you go in and fix this thing up and you can maybe mark it up 8 to yourself, so you have 8 grand in your pocket, and now you're at 12.5. Now you're at 20,500 plus some closing costs, and then go in with your private lender and fix it up for 20 to 25, and then put a turnkey buyer in there, sell it at mid like 65, but ARV is 80. Now you're marketing a deal. You could probably even sell it higher than that. You could market a 12 cap property with 10 grand in equity in it. I'm telling you, that's a turnkey deal all day long. And then maybe you go 50-50 or whatever the split is with your private lender on the back end, but you take a potential $10,000 payday and up it a little bit, get paid twice on this thing, once for the wholesale fee and once when you sell the turnkey rental.
Yeah, and that's actually what he offered me. He offered me 50-50 just starting off. And then he said,
so you tell him I'll do 50-50, but I've got to pay my acquisitions company. And if they don't understand that, they don't understand business. You've got to pay the golden goose that generated the lead and put the time, energy, and effort into even bringing the deal to the table. So maybe that's 5 grand. Maybe it's 6 or 7. I tell you what I do is I'd say, what I'm accustomed to doing is paying my acquisitions company $7,500, $7,000, for the deal, because that's about an average wholesale fee.
Right.
And see if they're on board with it.
Yeah. But you can. And I actually, the last couple of deals I got from, it was my wholesale fee was $8,500 on each one of them. He said he really liked that fee, so I don't think he'll have a problem with it at all.
And then run the numbers and show him the upside. Because you can go on that deal and get 3 or 4 GC bids, get it rent ready, put the tenant in it. You can manage the whole thing, get paid twice. What's cool about it, too, is once that tenant's there, tell your private lender, say, hey, listen, we're going to rent this thing at $950 a month. That's market rents. You know, here's how we'll split up the rent. So while it's listed, you and I will be making money on a monthly basis until we sell it, and then we'll get the payday.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Telling you that you've got a play. You've got a nice little plan B with those numbers.
Awesome. Mike, how do you manage that property?
How do you manage what?
The property.
What do you mean?
What, for the rental?
Just a lease agreement. You're not going to manage it long term. So you could go to a property manager and have them fill it, and then just sell it with the tenant and property management company already in place. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't want to find a tenant, that's what they do. Or you could, you know, put it online, take some applications. So yeah, the easy button would be find the reputable property manager in town and just tell them to fill it for you.
Right. Yeah. That would be ideal. I'm gonna definitely think about that, Mike.
Right.
I had actually already thought about that, but I was like, I don't have much experience with fix and flips. I haven't done one yet myself. That's
what about your lender? Has your lender done it at all?
He hasn't. He has a construction background, but he hasn't got into fix and flip shit. He does just buy a home right now.
Yep. Well, tell you what, you've got the Rehabber's GPS piece that's open, unlocked, and freedom soft. You have office hours here. You have access to the coaching email. So if you want to lean on some input from hundreds of fix and flip deals, that's what we're here for, right?
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, you can use FreedomSoft to run a rehab estimate, meet a couple GCs on site, hand it to them and say, here are the numbers I ran. Tell me what you come up with. And it looks like you put, 4 hours into figuring out all these prices, but you didn't.
Right,
you can
exactly.
Fill out the estimate in a couple minutes. Adjust it a little bit. If the roof is in great shape, don't leave a big number in there for the roof. That kind of thing, right? Make it kind of look like, but you could put that together inside of an hour. And then now you show up with it and say, you know, all you have to say is, let's go walk this thing. Here are the numbers I ran. Tell me what you come up with. And it looks like you've been flipping houses for 10 years.
Yep, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, you don't have to be the expert on it. That's what you're going to hire them for.
Okay. Yep, I got it. Well, I actually got a couple of them that like that. I have another gut job that I'm working on with exactly almost identical numbers. So I'm going to try to work both of those and see if I can make it happen.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, you win either way on this. Either find a buyer and make $8,000 to $10,000 or sell it. But I tell you what the kicker is on this thing is that I think you can have an 11 to 12 cap turnkey rental with equity.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would tell you to do is don't get too greedy on it. Get this thing to go, because here's the thing. Like a first deal with a private lender, just get them their money back and watch what happens next time. And then watch what happens when you say, hey, we just did one. You have enough horsepower to do 2 or 3 or 4? Watch what happens after they get through the first one and they see how it all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
And then people with money know people with money. It's just the way it is. So you just never know. But you have a potential strong, right, like a 10 to 12 cap rental with, 10 to maybe 15,000 in equity.
That's a good deal.
Landlord buyers that scoop that all day.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Cool. Who else?
Hey, Mike, just to mention too, I'm 10 minutes. I'm about 10 minutes outside of St. Louis. Till I heard you say you were in the St. Louis market.
Yeah.
Yeah, I live like 10 minutes away. I can go outside and look at the arch.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nobody so far in the group. Nobody's picked St. Louis because the P ratio sucks. You want to know how
I
picked
it?
Watch how. Well, it has population. I know it has cheap housing. And my business partner married a gal, and her family's from there. And he goes, I'm going to be in St. Louis a couple times a year. And Monica's dad's about to retire. He's a doctor, and he used to be a journeyman electrician. He goes, he'll manage construction for us. And we're like, yeah, done. Let's go generate leads there. I didn't even run a P ratio. Whether I should admit that or not to the group here, I didn't even pull it.
Yep.
I said, great. Let's go generate some vacants. I got a bird dog. I got him running. And we're just, good Lord, we got, you know, we're tying up deals all over the place. I'll be totally transparent, too. I'm having a heck of a time finding a skip tracer that I can communicate with and that can follow some instructions. So I've blown through 6 VAs in the last 7 weeks, and I'm frustrated about it. I'm like, good Lord, I've got a sales guy that's ready to rock and roll. I have just under 1,000 leads that need researched.
Wow.
And I can't get a skip tracer that can understand me enough to figure this out. So we had a gal, and she went MIA. I sent her 4 emails. She won't get back to me. Anyway, just is what it is, right?
Yeah.
Some of you, we've got some new people on the line, so – you know, I also mentioned in orientation that something's going to frustrate you and get in your way. Brad and Rob threw a GC in jail in Memphis, and I'm not kidding, and he's still there. So they're running construction. The guy's stealing from him. They knew he was stealing. Brad flew out and went to the PD, and he's still locked up. So it's not all – it's not 100% smooth sailing, right? It's business. They had 2 GCs stealing from them. The first one they threw in jail. They called the second one and they said, hey, we just threw this guy in jail. You have 2 options. You can join him or you can work off for free or for no pay until we're square and then we can move forward. And he said, I'll choose plan B or option B, please.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody's immune to the, you know, it's business.
Yeah.
And there are people involved, so plan on some adversity. Giddy up.
Yeah.
That's the game. Yep.
Well,
anyway.
Well, I ran a P ratio in St. Louis on my little venture, and it was 2.2.
Outside the sweet spot. And we've got I've got leads coming in all over the place.
Yeah.
So, absolutely do the research. But I brought up 2 examples today. Rob picked Memphis because it was competitive. It was outside of the sweet spot. And he said, if we can go get this thing to work here, it'll work in good markets. And it does. And I'm doing the same thing. Super competitive. We have a lady, check this out. She had 2 deals. She bought them with an ex-boyfriend. He's incarcerated. And we asked, what price can you get rid of these 2 houses at that you'll just instantly sleep better at night? And she goes, give me $2,500 on one and $5 on the other. And there are actually houses standing. The one for $5,000 has a tenant in it.
Whoa.
And that's in a really competitive market. We got a seller to just say, the property taxes are climbing. I can't afford them. I'm about to go 3 years behind on both. And I sleep at night. You make my life better if you give me $7,500 for both. And she's getting the quit claim back on Monday. We have to get him off title. And so she's sending a notary into the prison. Imagine that. Because that's a legal document that has to be notarized, and a notary has to witness the signature. So we got a text from her a couple days ago that she should have it on Monday. I mean, it's just crazy. And we're in a really, really competitive market. And we have, you know, deals like that. So anyway, the process works. Vacant real estate causes people headache. That's why we focus on it in this group. Not always, but you have the highest likelihood that that property is an issue when it's vacant. That's why we start there. And you all know that because we've talked about it before. So just reinforcing it. Who else?
Hey, Mike, it's Clark.
Hey, Clark.
Hey, a few weeks ago you talked about using list source to target areas where buyers are more active.
Yep.
And could you go through that one more time, just how to do that?
Yeah, it's you basically buy the list that you pull in step one, module one. So what you do to analyze the markets is you pull the population, and then you pull the number of active listings from Realtor.com, and then you pull the activity number. And the activity number is the number of absentee owner transactions pulled from list source. And all you do in step one is you grab the number, plug it into Rob's spreadsheet, and it calculates a P ratio for you. What you do
to get that
data is you purchase that list. And then map
it. And with that data, will it give me like locations in my target area where the buyers are more active?
You have to map it first. Yep. So you'll buy that list from list source. And then you'll map it. You can map it for free using Google Maps. And then for every address, every property address, it puts a little pin. And so nothing beats a picture, right? Picture's worth 1,000 words. And so all you have to do is look at your market. And it'll either – some markets have activity everywhere. It'll look like a shotgun hit it, and there will be activity all over the place. Other markets will have distinct pockets of activity where investors buy here, they do not buy here. So you just have to see.
Okay, because I got my bird dogs going in places. I'm not sure what the neighbors are like. Prolific.
When you follow the steps in the coaching center, you pull data first. So we've got to have some data on that, because that'll tell you where to send your bird dogs. There are two ways to know where to send your bird dogs.
Okay, I might have missed this step.
Number one,
my first step is to go to like.
Go to where?
Yeah, went to Realtor.com. Felicia, hello.
I'm here.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got a list of the 100 cheapest houses in the city, and I mapped those, and I got a little closer to where they are in the city, and that's where I sent my bird dogs. I'm not sure that was right.
Gotcha. Let's do this. Here's what I want you to do is go into Craigslist in your market, go to the real estate for sale page. Are you online right now?
Yeah, but I'm really slow online where I am.
You were telling me that. Okay, so take notes.
Yeah.
Just go to the real estate section, real estate for sale, and then once you go to that page, at the top of the screen, there's a little drop down. It'll say real estate for sale because that's what you just selected. Click the drop down and go down a few and click real estate wanted. And what will happen is that'll be the place where the we buy houses people post. I buy houses, I'll buy your house, sell me your house ads in Craigslist.
Uh-huh.
Call five of those and have five buyer conversations tomorrow. Right? Keep your bird dogs going because there's a decent chance they're in the right spot, but let's just make sure. Talk to five buyers and say, I'm a wholesaler in town. I found your ad on Craigslist. I'm staring at it right now. It looks like you buy houses. What do you buy? And just go through the buyer script that's in the coaching center and just have a conversation about them. And you're going to ask them, what zip codes do you buy? What are their zip codes that you avoid? You know, what kind of property types are you looking for? What price points do you like to buy in? Are you buying rentals, fix and flips? Do you look at both? And what will happen is when you ask them, what zip codes do you buy? They'll just rattle them off because they'll tell you. Or they'll tell you, you know, north side of town, south side, I don't buy east, whatever. They'll give you feedback on it. And you'll likely, when you talk to the first two, there will likely be some overlap, and they'll give you either the same part of town, or they'll give you the same zip code, a couple of the same. And if your bird dogs aren't there, immediately send them there. If you get two buyers
right.
and tell you the same zip code, stop what you're doing and go there.
That's good.
Yep.
All right.
So, yeah, we always go to data.
Okay.
Right? And the data for that is list source, buy it, or talk to buyers and ask them. Both are considered data for that. Yep.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Oh, one other question.
Yeah.
I asked you about the skip tracing, the info on the find owner button.
Yes.
We need a phone number. How do we get a phone number for the owners?
That's what the skip trace does. Did you watch that video?
Okay, so that's part of their. Yeah, I watched the video. I was just thinking about getting phone numbers.
Yeah, the skip trace gets the phone.
I understood
that's
about
what
that.
That's what a skip trace does. So what will happen is Bird Dog sends a lead into FreedomSoft, and they put, you know, 123 Main Street in the subject section. Your VA will come in, grab that address, copy and paste it to the top of that lead details page. So now you have a property address at the top of the screen. Once that is saved, the blue Find Owner button will appear in FreedomSoft. Click that, identify the owner. That'll input the owner's name, and most of the time it's a person. Sometimes it's corporate. So have your skip tracers focus on the individual people's names, right? I mean, Bank of America is going to show up eventually and whatever. Put those to the side. Skip trace the individual owners where you get a person's name. So it's going to say Joe Smith. And then it'll show their tax mailing address. Now, that mailing address should not match the property address because the house is vacant. Right?
Right. Right.
What your skip tracer is going to do now is they're going to go to LexisNexis or whatever. They are going to input that owner's name and their tax mailing address and click search. They have to be very clear on this. They do not use the owner's name and the property address. They use the owner's name and the mailing address because that's where the owner lives. So don't skip trace John Smith in Orlando if John Smith lives in Austin, Texas. You will get very, very bad data, right?
Right.
So
the results of the skip trace is going to result in a phone number.
The skip trace results in phone numbers. You got it.
Good. Okay.
Yep. That's how you know what to dial.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it. Who else? Great questions tonight, by the way. Then that's every night. This is I've told you all this before, but I love working with this group. I look forward to Mondays and Thursdays. This is good stuff. And I love, it's got to be the how-to, but office hours are always going to be about the 10,000-foot view. If you just know the how-to, you'll look back in 5 years and realize that you built yourself a job, right? So we always have to mix in the in-the-business stuff and the on-the-business stuff. That's the key to the whole thing if you want lifestyle, and I know all of you do. Nobody's here to say, hey, I swapped a corporate job for a real estate job. That is not the point. So we've got to get dialed on the how-to. And then we're also going to discuss the business side because that's where the lifestyle comes together. That's the magic piece. Who else? All right. Let's call it. Good stuff, everybody. Keep your feet on the gas. If there's something you think you can do tomorrow, do it tonight. And any other questions, obviously get them into the coaching center. Great updates. We've got a lot of really good things happening. So if you're just getting started with us, get through. You've got to understand modules 1 and 2, but get through them so we can get you into 3 and start generating leads. You know, that's where we're talking, you know, deal structure and offers and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I want you, like I said before, I want you moving at a slightly uncomfortable pace. That's where we need to be. You have, you've joined this group to be coached, not befriended. So while I am friendly, we got to step on it. And I'm just, I'm telling you what I see Rob and Brad do, and they are relentless. And when you get that way, right, the magic word is until, always. I will, currently, I will keep talking to VAs until I get somebody that's consistent and can get the job done. And we won't stop until then. And if I have to talk to 3, 4, 5 a day, which, right, that's just what it's going to take. So until is always the magic word. Until. I will do this until. So hang on to that mindset. And like I said, keep your feet on the gas. Any questions, get them in. I know my response times were a little slow today. I was in a meeting all day. I was doing my best. It usually doesn't take me that long to get back. So I appreciate any of you that waited a little longer than normal today. I'm usually not in meetings all day. So that was kind of an anomaly. But, yeah, get those questions over. Make it a productive few days. And we'll chat again on Monday. I'm looking forward to some good updates.
Great call, Mike.
Yep, thanks for being on, everybody. It takes all of us to put it all together. So I appreciate you all being here and showing up. I'm telling you, there's a direct correlation between number of office calls made and speed and results, always. You got to stay plugged in. So, you know, nice job on being here. Have a great few days. We'll chat good Monday. Luck. Take care, everybody. Take care.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Mike. See you later.
Yep.
Have a good weekend.
You too.